Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Any Given Game Day with Mike Carlson. Just me and you. It's a solo duo. Yeah, me and you, Mike. Just me and you.
With Mike Carlson and only Mike Carlson. John Balth is traipsing around the States, discovering America for the first time, trying not to get deported.
Trying not to get deported. I told him to keep the head down. You know, he would be. Let's talk a little bit. We're going to look at the games. Let's talk a little bit about last week because, it was an interesting week because favorites went 11-2, so 84% strike rate. That's the biggest winning percentage for favorites in a single week since 1985. And all 11 favorites who were favored by 7 points or more covered in week eight. In fact, I should mention that every game on Sunday during Red Zone was decided by 10 points or more, except Jets and Bengals, which we may get on to a little bit later on. It also was an over feast with 11-2, 11-3, I think, for the overs.
11-2 on the overs. So, wow. So I thought I had a pretty good week at 10-3, but I was beaten. I was beaten by the overs and the favorites. What were the three losses I had were San Francisco, and they were dogs.
Bengals,
Miami. So that was not, Miami was not a dog, and they were both dogs, and the Jets. Yeah, those were my three games long, all in a row. Yeah.
The Bengals was my best bet of last weekend, which we don't have to get into right now. But there was a
Can do that now if you want.
But we can.
We'll do it at the end of the show.
You could do the results and I could do. But I'll just say this: there was a touchdown for the Bengals near the end to the third quarter, and they went 11 up, I think. And I just thought, that's done.
Yeah,
that's done.
It was very strange the way they just watching them too. It was almost like Joe Burrow seemed to be saying to them, come on guys, you know, you've been here before. And none of the guys said, what do you mean, Joe? What are you talking about? It was sad. I mean, both the New York teams, my highlight of the weekend, I think, was Kayvon Thibodeau stealing the tush push from Jalen Hurts. And it flips me firmly onto the side of ban the tush push because they can't referee it. I mean, every year I say it's never been this bad, and every year it seems to me to be worse than it was. But we've already seen they can't call the offside on the tush push. They can't call the encroachment on the tush push. They can't call the pulling on the tush push. And now they didn't blow the play dead. I went back and listened a couple of times. There was never a whistle. And they said forward progress was stopped. But if forward progress was stopped, why were they still trying to go forward? You know, it's like they need to either close the door as soon as it stops and not let them do interminable pushing. But there's Hurts, and Hurts is trying to stretch the ball out over the line, and Thibodeau just rips it out of his hands. Should have been a touchdown the other way. Would have changed the complexion of the game.
It was a very, very bad call. All right. Yeah, it does beg the question, all right, if they're allowed touch, push, and push, and push, and push, why, if somebody grabs it, the play is suddenly dead? And, of course, it wasn't the only one of those, because one of those under games, I must admit to, was one of the games that I had in my little over-accumulator, which was the Tampa-New Orleans Saints games, which had a number of takeaways, three by Tampa in the space of probably about 20 minutes, which did in the end lead to Rattler getting rattled out of the game. But then his replacement gave the ball away just as much. But in that game,
you were expecting something different from Tyler Slough.
You may have seen it's sort of a similar thing where basically Tampa just ripped the ball away from the guy and ran in for a touchdown, and there was no whistles. And there are no whistles. It's been put up loads. There is, and maybe you'll be able to explain this a little bit more, there's some sort of a theory that the line judge does something with his feet, which implies that the play is dead.
Yeah, he marks the spot. You know, he moves into position so that I think it's the right foot is in line with where the ball is, and that from that they mark it down the line. Yeah, so when he does that, the assumption is that the play is dead.
But there were no
whistles. This is what I call the quantum NFL. They don't care. Sometimes there are no whistles, and they just say the play was blown dead, or the play was dead, lack of forward progress, without actually having done either. And it depends on where you're looking at it from. The act of observation changes the object being observed. In the NFL, it's true all the time.
And just on
You'll
that then, just on that, if you remember a few years ago, I think it was it the Kansas game that they blew it dead in a very, very important game, and
Oh,
it
that
should
was
have
with
been
the
a touchdown.
Patriots.
Yeah, so that's the one that everyone kind of says, why are you need, and they said we're going to let these plays develop now, kind of like what the offside rule is in football, and in kind of a way what happens sort of in rugby where they kind of let them play and then he goes to the TMO or he sort of says, is there a high tackle there? Will you check for me? As opposed to stopping the game, things like that. But we're not seeing that. Like, I mean, that play was called dead when like everyone in Tampa was like, we didn't know. I didn't hear no whistle, kind of thing. And then you've got the other one. So it is obviously a difficult game to referee, and we don't want New York getting involved as much as they seem to be. But
They really are, yes.
they are having a bit of trouble this year with a lot of things. So.
Dan Campbell said that the referee told him that the call that he was complaining about was made in New York, and
Yeah,
New York
they
denied it
denied that
because
then.
they weren't supposed to be they weren't supposed to be making that call. But why would Campbell make it up? It doesn't make doesn't make sense.
And when have we
There's
last
another
seen a
solution.
QB with an illegal shift?
Well, the question was whether or not he was quote unquote under center. And Campbell was arguing that he wasn't under center. He was just appearing to be under center, which was all. But hey, how about Jim Harcheat? Jim Harbaugh putting Lamar Jackson on the ready to go list, full participation in practice, and then he doesn't play in the game. He doesn't dress for the game. And the NFL said, you can't do that. And he said he was a full participation at practice running the scout team. And I thought, now that's clever. Harbaugh prepared for that one. He had his out there, and he'll probably get away with it, or they'll get away with it with less than a couple hundred thousand fine for doing that. But I do have a solution to the no whistle problem, which is that everyone in the stadium brings whistles. And then blows the whistles
Perfect.
when they think the play is dead. That would
That's
solve a lot of questions. But I really thought that Thibodeau would have been the play of the week had it stood up, And because how many times have you ever seen that? I've seen it a couple of times in the middle of the field, but quarterbacks or anyone who's doing a sneak is supposed to know you don't stretch the ball out in the middle of the field because the ball isn't dead.
Yeah.
Until you're stopped one way or the other.
The
But
Ravens thing was interesting
otherwise.
because I think it also came in a week, obviously, where we see some controversy in with them, and this show is it talks about gambling. So, like, where the NBA is certainly had the eye. I don't want to go too much into the details of it because well, we're a gambling
I
show,
do.
but I
I
saw
will.
somebody
This is a
say
family
that.
show.
I saw somebody, I think it was Pro Football, one of those big things in the States, saying that the reality of this is that eventually we're going to have to stop player props. Which is interesting because I don't agree with that thing. I can tell you for a fact that fucking Flutter and all of FanDuel and DraftKings will try and stop that because they make all their money off these parlays with player props. So they're now, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm pretty sure I'm right that they've stopped them in college games, pretty sure, because of guys, like if you're in college and you're not going to the NFL or you're not going, you're just an NCAA player or whatever, and somebody's bet on you to get, over 12 points in the game or whatever, like, and you're 2 days later, you're walking into the cafeteria and some guy's having a go at you. That's a little bit, and there was times where people were getting like harassed on college campuses. So player props were basically gone in the States on FanDuel, I believe, for college games. Obviously, they still exist for NFL and NBA. I would.
Yeah, I mean, they always exist on illegal gambling sites.
They do, yeah, they do, yeah. I would question, you know what would question, because a couple of people ask me about this as well, like, because obviously the sort of same game multi and all of that has been in for football for a long period of time. But obviously the checks and balances of things are very different in the States still. I would say that one of the bets that I saw when I read the article was there was a 200 grand, $200,000 bet on a player to do an under, who then said he had a sore ankle and walked off. Like
That was at
200,
basketball,
that
right?
was the basketball player, yeah.
Yeah, basketball is easy going back to the 50s when, because you can shave a game without losing it and therefore not feel responsible to your team. If you miss one or two baskets toward the end, and you don't cover, but you still win the game. You're
Yeah,
um,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
you're,
And
you
like this
you
has
don't you
happened in
don't have
spot
any reason.
fixing with cricket as well, where like they throw a
Yeah,
no ball kind of
absolutely.
thing for the first. I would think though, like honestly, like in terms of here in the UK and in Ireland, like if somebody rang up Paddy Power and said they wanted to have 200 grand on, Spurs are playing
No
Newcastle
ball
tonight,
in the
Rich,
first over.
yeah, well, Richarlison not to have no shots on target in the game, that would
Right.
create an alarm or two. Obviously, the States is such a bigger market, and they are dealing with very little responsible gambling and stuff like that. And I don't think they have any checks and balances, but maybe that's where they should be looking at. Like, should you be able to put 200 grand on a guy to have less than?
Well, you would have thought a smart bookie would just ignore it, would just say, no way, I'm not taking that, because he would know that the fix had to be in. How did the gamblers know that the 1919 Chicago Black Sox were going to throw the World Series? The pitcher in the opening game hit the first battery faced on the first pitch he faced. And then there's a great scene of it in Eight Men Out, where just turns around and walks out the gambler, Wolf's, no, what's his not, Rothstein, Arnold Rothstein, doesn't stay to watch the reconstruction of the game. But here's a quiz question for you.
Oh no.
Who said, quote, "The decision was a decision by the Supreme Court when they legalized sports betting. We have to adapt. We have to embrace it. Our top priority is protecting the game."
Was that Roger Goodell?
Oh, good guess. It has the Goodell bell to it.
But they're totally in
Streaming.
bed now with I mean, DraftKings and FanDuel are official sponsors. Paddy Power is
Oh,
the
yeah.
official European sponsor of the NFL or sportsbook of the NFL. They like after completely never ever mentioning it on broadcast, the gambling didn't exist in the NFL. They now mention it quite regularly, and it's
Ah.
all the time on what you call it, Red Zone.
When they tried to ban Tony Romo, well, they did ban Tony Romo from going to Vegas to host a sports memorabilia show because it was being held in a casino conference room. That was around the time that somebody said, if gambling is permitted freely on sporting events, normal incidents of the game, such as bad snaps, dropped passes, turnovers, penalties, and play calling, will fuel speculation, distrust, and accusations of point shaving or game fixing. Who said that in 2012?
Roger Goodell.
Very close to the Roger Goodell who said, and then 4 years later said, "We remain very much opposed to gambling on sports. We want to make sure we're doing what's right for the game." In a related question, 8 years later, when he answered the one about the Supreme Court decision, somebody said, "How much," they were talking about streaming services getting the football games away from networks, "how much money is too much money for the NFL to get out of the little man?" And who said, "We have to fish where the fish are"?
I think his first point, though, is right in one way, in that we've already seen certain players have bad games be like almost said like, oh, he knew how many catches he was down to get, and like players get enough abuse, like they regularly talk about fantasy, like guys in out shopping and somebody shouts at them about it. The idea now that a lot of people could be getting that about. Bets is kind of
Yeah.
crazy, but I mean that's where we are. But I think we're just, if I'm being honest, I think here in Ireland and in the UK, we're just used to betting on sports, and we don't
Oh,
necessarily
yeah.
like you ask any jockey now, and I worked a lot in horse racing, as those people who know from my previous job, like if you ask any jockey about what it's like, yeah, they get horrific abuse, you know?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
even the best jockeys, like a horse will fall, you know, a horse will jump a shadow, it'll leave its hind legs into a fence. You know, it's like things happen. Like, and you're going 40 mile an hour on a horse that's like 50 times your weight. The amount of
Yeah.
steering you can sometimes do is difficult. But look, we've gone ages
Well,
into that.
the harder the sport is to understand, the easier it is to fix. There's a sport called highlight, or pelota, which is a Basque game originally. And you have a long stick. It's like handball on a huge court, and you throw the ball from a long stick that looks like an extended claw. And since nobody understands exactly how it works, the guys just fix the games themselves and put money down. It exists totally for gambling in America. I mean, I know they take it seriously in the Basque country, but that's about it.
Yeah,
Anyway,
there's some crazy stuff on the Bet365 website as well. Sometimes if you go on there like late at night, you would like, what are we punting on here? And speaking of punting, right, let's get into it. Kansas City Chiefs are 9-2 to win the Super Bowl. I think that was worth mentioning, to be honest.
I thought you were going to rhapsodize about the Ayahuasca Bowl.
Well, we'll get to all of that. Hold on. The Lions, despite being on a bye, have managed to move into 6-1. By the way, these all prices are on Sky Bet this week. That's the one we're using. Green Bay Packers 13-2. Buffalo Bills are 15-2. The Eagles are 17-2, and it's 9s bar. Colts are quite big movers. I just noticed they're into 10-1. The single figures in some places as well. I don't know if you saw. Someone has took a snapshot of like the holes that Jonathan Taylor is able to run through, and you could get an articulated truck through what his offensive line is able to do.
Yeah,
So,
I saw. I just happened to catch him doing one of those, while I was watching Red Zone. I
they
mean, he's
really
such a
make a
good
path
runner.
for him, like.
Anyway, yeah, they don't need to make it that easy for him. But
Unbelievable.
once he's in the second level, he's running a bit like Saquon Barkley was last year, and I'm convinced that Barkley is suffering the curse of 360, because he touched the ball so many times last year. I think it was 445, counting the playoffs, that he just doesn't have that same juice that he had last year. And if I were them, I'd be looking for ways to get him the ball in space, like lining him up as a receiver more, and just trying to lessen the wear and tear on him. But they're rounding into form, and when you read those odds, what that says to me, there's two interesting things. Is one is that nobody thinks that the Chiefs are not going to be the same kind of team they've been for the last few years, and that they're already rounding in, with Rashee White Rice back. Is especially it looks like Travis Kelce isn't suffering from XRS anymore, which, exhausted rooster syndrome, which
I
he
didn't know
seemed to
where
have
you were
been.
going with that, I have to say. I
Yeah,
was like, what are we doing here?
but that was good. That was good to see. And the other one, and really, there isn't much competition for them. The Colts, I think, are probably their best competition right now. Buffalo could turn things around, except that I worry with Ed Oliver out now that Buffalo will have a tougher time turning it around, especially against teams with good run games. And then the other one is that the NFC is in a much stronger position. Personally, I still think the old standbys, Detroit and Philadelphia, are probably have to be the odds-on favorites. But I could see Green Bay making a case. I could see the Rams making a case. I
I
could not see
saw
the Cowboys making a case, except for
no.
futility. But I think
Hey, they're the
that's
overs champions, man. If you want to get a game over, you back the Cowboys.
well, they're what are they, 54 this week, so
It's just there were like their game against Washington was 57 or something, and there was nearly 80 in it. I saw an incredible stat about the 49ers. Since Shanahan took over, the San Francisco 49ers have had 2,036 games missed due to injury, the most in the NFL.
it's amazing, isn't it? Because how do you put your finger on what would be going wrong with them, and how could it be the coach's fault? Maybe you look at your strength and conditioning coaches, or Is his offense just putting too much strain on people's knees? I doubt it, because a lot of this year the injuries have been mostly on the defense.
It's
I know
crazy.
they also picked up Keon White from the Patriots, former second round draft pick, for a sixth round draft pick, and they got a seventh in the bargain. So, the fire sale continues up in Foxborough. Foxborough fire sale. Elliot Wolf. Everything must go.
Let's get to the games on
Let's.
Halloween, October 31st, a quarter past 12. The Baltimore Ravens take on the Miami Dolphins. The Baltimore Ravens are 1-5. The Miami Dolphins are 7-2. I'll just get the over under for you. Excuse me, 50.5 is the current spread. The over under.
What's the spread, did you say?
The spread is 7.5.
Seven,
Sorry.
7.5. It started at 6.5. It's one of the problems with doing these early week games. Yeah, 7.5 to Miami. That becomes a little more tasty than 6.5 did. Well, I have high hopes for Baltimore, assuming that Lamar Jackson plays. Although not Tyrod Taylor, Tyron, whatever his name is, played pretty well for them in that in the big win against Chicago. Tyler Huntley, I like him. I like him. But yeah, I mean, Miami showed signs of life, but otherwise, up till this point, I thought they were the softest, deadest team in the league, probably, which is why I thought Mike McDaniel would get fired. And they do have the big advantage this week, as opposed to playing Atlanta, of playing a northern team in a hot, steamy southern city. So, what do I like in this game? What I like is that I think Baltimore is going to pound them with Derrick Henry and try to keep him fresh as a daisy. Keaton Mitchell being back and healthy makes a big difference for them because he's a kind of game breaker threat. And if Lamar is back, then I can see them winning. I can see Miami covering 7.5. Peut-être, as we say in French, but I see this game
Ooh
going
la la.
under 55. If you wanted me to say what my best bet on this game would, I would go under 50.5.
Do we think McDaniels will be at Miami next year? Based on, and I wanted, here's what I want you to say, based on his body language on the sidelines at times.
Well, his body language has been like that for a while, though, and it was cool. It was cool when they were sort of winning and breaking off lots of big plays back in the, glory days of Tyreek and Mostert and Waddle, and Tua before concussions and stuff like that. But the last couple of seasons, he hasn't looked like it, has he? He really hasn't looked like someone who's totally invested with the team, or whose team is totally invested with him, might be a better way to put it. You never know what Steve Ross is thinking. You never know if Steve Ross is thinking. But I don't see him back. I could be wrong. They could put on a late burst. That division is still relatively open. What are they?
It
They're
is.
2-6. Even Baltimore, I figured out on Monday, Baltimore's 2-5. Baltimore could quite easily go into the last game of the season with a 8-, what did I have it worked out at? I think it was 9-7 record. And if they beat Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh on the last week of the season, they could go to the playoffs 10-7, and knock Pittsburgh probably out of it. So, it's not. No one's quite out of it apart from the really bad teams, but there's an opening there for Baltimore, and there's probably one for Miami too.
Quick, we're going to do 2 6 o'clock games very quickly, get Mike's views on both. Minnesota Vikings take on the Detroit Lions. Minnesota Vikings are 4-1. The Lions coming off a bye are 1-6. 8.5 is the spread. 48.5 is the over under. I have a little stat for this, and I
Oh.
want to the Detroit Lions return to action on Sunday following their bye week. This has been a red hot spot for the Lions over the years, who are 11-2 against the spread in their last 13 games after a bye. In their most recent 2 games after a bye, they scored 47 points against Dallas. and 41 versus the Chargers in 2023. I would say that they were probably a little bit different of teams. Again, we've mentioned that this is not the Lions' high scoring, high offenses. We're going to go for 40, 50 points a game so far this season. And you think that'll change at all on Sunday? I don't know if it will.
Well, it's an interesting question because Brian Flores and the Minnesota defense haven't been as dominant, is probably the wrong word, but exciting as they've been the past couple of years. They've been very aggressive on defense, blitzing an awful lot. And of course, people think that blitzing Jared Goff is the route to success against the Lions. But the bigger question becomes, is JJ McCarthy ready now to play? And play well, or is he going to be a rookie making, in effect, his first real start, or second real start in his career? Carlson Wentz is out for the season, so it's JJ or not, and I think he's going to be closer to not than JJ at this point. So I like Detroit. I would be willing to go and for the cover. And I also think they'll go under as well, the 48.5, which seems like a pretty broad statement to make. But I don't think Minnesota let them roll up a huge score in this one.
Okay, we're going to do two games because when we spoke beforehand, we said we'd mention the Colts. Obviously, we're just talking about their offensive line. The Colts take on Pittsburgh Steelers. Steelers lost, obviously, on Monday night. Monday night, wasn't it? Yeah, 4-7. The Colts, 11-8. The Steelers, 3 points is the spread that I have. 50.5 is the over under. Yeah, so you wouldn't have said this probably like when we did a sort of preview show or anything like that. That come week 9. That the Colts would ride into Pittsburgh and be favorites, would you?
No, and just as a sidebar, 8 of the 14 games have home dogs this week,
Great
which is
stat.
interesting.
Nice, yeah.
I mean, the Ayahuasca Bowl, which was Sunday night last week, or else this would be a really short week for the Steelers. You saw Aaron Rodgers at his best and worst. If Jordan Love could throw with the accuracy of Aaron Rodgers, and Rodgers could throw with the arm of Jordan Love, which would be the old Aaron Rodgers, basically, would have been a really more interesting game. But I think looking at this one, the only thing that leans me toward Pittsburgh is the Tomlin intangibles. You think, well, the Steelers now they've been slapped at home by the Packers. That's never happens twice in a row to a Tomlin team, right? We don't think of Indianapolis as being as good as the Packers, even though they're probably better than the Packers. But they're very similar teams in a way, with strong offensive lines behind which you can run. And I think that's, as we saw last week, it's probably a formula for Pittsburgh, who seem, I thought they made a good draft pick with a defensive tackle in the first round, but he hasn't really come through delivering to replace, or at least spell effectively Cam Haywood and that veteran front, which is starting to look just a little bit creaky on the veteran side. So, for me, it would be a leap of faith to take Indy in this one. But I'm sorely tempted to do it. The 3 points doesn't really put me off as much as you'd think it might. I find it hard to jump on the Packers, sorry, on the Steelers, even with 3 points. And this is another one where I see it going under.
Oh,
I'm
like
the
I
un I'm
don't
the un I'm the
like it.
Undertaker this week.
I don't know.
Last
I
week.
just told you that there was only two games that went under last week, and you're there like,
No,
what?
that was last week. This is this week, man. I'm
That
living in the
is
present.
true, true. Do you know a couple of weeks ago, I'm not gonna remember the details, but basically two teams met each other that had like an amazing couple of weeks, and it was all overs, and the line was really high. And just because of the fact that I was like, I bet it doesn't happen again, I went under and the game went massively under. It's just one of those things where you're like, the market has reacted to this in a way that's way overcompensated for who they are. Speaking of markets and the overcompensating, the Kansas City Chiefs head to the Buffalo Bills, who nobody seems that impressed with these days. 8-11 about the
No.
Chiefs. The Bills are 11-10 to win at home. Now, I have the
That's a
spread. I
pretty
don't. I don't know what you
good
saw.
bet. That's a pretty good bet right on its own, you know.
Yeah, I don't know how you wrote them down, the spreads, when you looked up, but at the moment on Sky Bet, it's 1.5 and the over under is 52.5. Like, I'm surprised that it's 1.5 based on the team's performances this season. I would have said it would have been closer to 3. What did you think?
I was thinking the opposite. I was thinking
Oh, I
I
love
was
it.
surprised that the Bills were dogs. To me, this feels like a pick-em game because the biggest Bills weakness is run defense. And the Chiefs are not a good running team. I think Mahomes was their leading rusher until the till last week's game. They both have good offensive lines. The Bills have a solid offensive line, a good runner in Cook. They have Allen, who's a real talent. And the Chiefs are back in a similar situation now that they've got Rashee Rice back. Their offense is really clicking the way it used to. And I think you see that in the difference of play, not joking aside about exhausted roosters, but Kelce is back to being able to be that second crossing guy, with Rice being the first and Worthy being the Tyreek Hill type deep man. And then they can run the other guys through, like Juju and Tyquan Thornton and Hollywood Brown. They don't have to really depend on them being major threats. They can just be shiny lawn or hood ornaments. So I find this one fascinating. And to me, it's more of a pick'em than anything else, which is why if I like the Bills, I would probably skip the point and a half and just take it the 11-10 instead of 10 to 11.
What about that over 52.5?
That one to me is the first one I'd be willing to go over on. And
Finally.
of course, of the ones we've done, obviously. But of course, when I say that, it immediately means it's going to go under. And Spags is going to have a great day as a defensive coordinator. These two teams know each other so well. They've been very adept at keeping Josh Allen under control until like the last 40 seconds of the game, which is the other thing I keep flashing back to. It's like Allen maybe as good as Mahomes, maybe better at the big play late in the game, the manufacturing something in chaos time. But it's a great argument if you are. And so because of that, I think I'll take Buffalo even with Ed Oliver out. And as I said, I'd suggest leaving the point and a half behind. I'd also suggest waiting and see what happens. If you're all over it, go all over it now. But I can see that something happening. We're recording on Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, or said that flips the odds by a point or whatever. You can do. I've never seen one, I don't think, that I remember. But you can have an 0.5 spread
You
for
can,
whatever
yep.
that for whatever that's worth. That's kind of where I see this game.
Stops a push, doesn't it? The late game. Let's talk about Sunday and then do best bets. And if we've
Of
time,
course,
we'll go to Monday football.
yeah. Of course, I've just seen that Pacheco's out of this one too, or quite possibly out. He's listed as week to week.
Yeah, I think I have that down on the list. I'm just doubtful. I think more doubtful than okay.
More doubtful than that.
Yeah, exactly. Seahawks at Commanders. Seattle Seahawks 1-2. The Washington Commanders 13. It actually leads very well into our best bets. Is why I did such a brilliant segue. I'm really good at this because John Baugh, all the way from Washington, where he is currently, he's in Washington Ice. He's in Washington. He has gone for the Seahawks -3.5. In Washington, which I said was brave because he's in Washington, but look, this is it. So that's his best bet. So Seattle are 1-2, the Commanders are 13-8, 3.5 spread, 56.5 is the over under. Do you feel that like I thought Kansas on Monday night, like it just kind of showed like where the Commanders are if they don't have their star players and star power, notably their quarterback, and then their best wide receiver just left the
Terry
game.
McLaurin's,
Yeah, and I think he actually said after the game he's fine, which makes me think they were like, let's just not like get him injured. We're gonna lose, so let's just like wrap him up in cotton wool, which seems strange, but hey, but the Commanders are very reliant on like
Jaden Daniels.
very short, small amount of players, like basically one wide receiver, one okay running back, and a very good quarterback. Is that mean to them?
No, I don't think so. And they haven't been really, you expect in those situations when like Jaden Daniels out, you want your defense to step up. And Dan Quinn is, first and above foremost, a defensive coach, but they haven't really shown those signs. This is, of course, a Washington Derby, with Seattle against Washington, D.C. And also, John Belf by now is probably in Ecuador. Not Washington, but I like Seattle a lot in this one. I think John's probably onto a good thing there, and I think they can probably cross that 3.5. That was to me a pretty good bet. Whether or not they can go over 46 and a half, is Daniels definitely playing, or is he still sort of like
Let
day to
me
day?
Google him and get the absolute, like I have him down as doubtful when I did the notes this morning. Jaden, 5 hours ago was the latest. Hold on, what does this say? Expected to practice today, 15 minutes ago from Good Morning Football. So he's back to practicing. That doesn't, of course, mean he will play.
Right.
But that's
It
probably a little bit better. I mean, I think like Mariota's not really the guy anymore, is he? Like we used to, I remember us talking about Marcus Mariota like 5 years ago, Tennessee kind of, you know. I mean, this is, I'm
he's
surprised he's
still
still
one of the
going.
better he's still one of the better backups in the league.
But a
But you don't
backup
want to have
nonetheless.
you don't want to have to extend him to half your season. I'm going to leave that alone then, and just say I don't think Jaden Daniels is going to play. Wait on this. See if he does. If he does, it still wouldn't change my vote. I go along with John on this. And if he plays, I might go over 46.5. If he doesn't, I'd go under.
Okay, we will go. Let's do best bets. I would like to just sort of say that hang on.
Arizona Dallas isn't your best bet on Monday Night
Not
Football?
yet. Like we can touch on it if we can get to it, but I'd like to make sure that we get our best bets in. John's already given his sneaky bastard. But you can give last week's result with the caveat that the Bengals are just like, what were they at? So how do we do last week, Mike?
How did you do last week? Or sorry, let's call that we. As you said, the Bengals messed you up. You took the Bengals plus minus 6.5 against the Newark Airport Jets. And it looked like Atwin was in the bag, and
Did.
a couple of mixed kicks, and all of a sudden it was 39-38, and the Jets had won their first game of the season. John, meanwhile, had taken Cleveland plus six at New England. Sorry, plus five at New England, and that he's very Cleveland centric, so that
That was a
made
bad
sense
one.
for him.
This
That
didn't
was a
make any
bad
sense, but anyway.
that was a bad one. 32-13, the Patriots beat the Browns despite Myles Garrett's sterling performance. And I had Tampa minus 4.5 at New Orleans. They beat the Saints 23-3, which quite easily covered. So in the end, the standings now, John is 5-3. We were all 5-2 going into last week. Kieran is 5-3, and I'm 6-2.
Very good.
Right where I ought to be.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Michael. Tell me, what is your best bet of this weekend, please?
So I got to go look at my best bet. And if you have yours waiting, go ahead, because
Yes, I do. I do. Now, mine's a bit risky, I will admit, but I've just got a sneaky suspicion that the Giants might be able to do something this weekend, which I know is cheeky,
They
but
will definitely do something.
I'm going to go for the Giants plus three against San Francisco at home against San Francisco. So that is
That's
my
not
best bet.
bad. That's not
Yeah,
bad at all.
I don't think the Giants are like. I think I would prefer if Cam Skedaboo was still involved, obviously, because he's a brilliant running back. But I think they've enough there. I've liked what I've seen at times from and especially their quarterback, who I think is just going to be a bit of a breakout star at the moment. So yeah, I'm off for the Giants. People are going to be listening to that and thinking it's the first time he's ever done a New York team. It pretty much is, really. I can't remember the last time I backed the Giants in anything. Maybe an over in a game, but certainly not them. But I'm going to go for them plus three.
It's a very interesting one. I'm
Are you
sticking on
still
the
searching?
same. What?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm juggling a bunch of these things around. One of the interesting ones is Denver and Houston, who are basically everyone's on about Denver's defense and all their pass rush and stuff. But Houston is actually the number one defense in the league right now. So this game's set at 39-5 with those two teams. And I'm torn between going over in that one, being contrarian, or going over in Carolina Green Bay at 44-5. Carolina's 13-point dogs. And much as I can see a backdoor cover coming up in that one, I'm kind of I hate backdoor covers, so I try
Yeah,
to
that's a
avoid
tough
them.
one to go
And
for.
I try to avoid advising people to take backdoor covers. So I'm basically those are the two games I thought were pretty strong overs this week. And I thought one of the strongest unders was San Francisco at the Giants, which is 48-5, and that's the one I'm going to take in the end. So
Oh, so we're going for the same game. Oh, brilliant. Okay.
we're
On
on
an
the same game.
under plus two and plus three. Love it. One game you mentioned there, Broncos Texans. Guess where might you see the limit for both of those teams? Because there's quite a there's a large Broncos following, it seems to be on Twitter at the very least, in kind of the kind of UK and I thing, and they're quite excited about this side on the Broncos side. Are
Yeah,
you?
I mean, I'm actually I not really. I mean, I have a kind of intrinsic wariness of Sean Payton. And you can see what he's trying to do, and he does a lot of it really well to manufacture points and stuff. And Denver has, like I said last week, and much like Miami this week, they do have a built-in home advantage where teams tire out in the fourth quarter against them. But I actually think Seattle is a more well-rounded team, although they defend more on scheming, on defense. And the question is, how far will Sam Darnold take them? I think Sam Darnold's ahead of Bo Nix right now. I think Nix is
Ooh,
still,
now that's a controversial one. I think if
it
you
is a
polled 50 to
controversial one.
100 people,
They'd probably put Bo Nix ahead, I think.
they
But Bo
probably
Nix
would,
is.
yeah.
It is still, I think, working somewhat within the limitations of that system. So it's a really interesting game. And again, if I were picking it, I'd probably be sorely tempted to go under in this. But the under is so low at 39.5, it's more likely, and it's more likely an over. It looks to me like CJ Stroud has started to come back to his old form. It's taken him a year and a half to get there, but it seemed that way last week. I was pretty much impressed with the way he played against San Francisco.
Yeah. I actually, yeah, Balf mentioned that last week about CJ Stroud starting to come back, and I do see signs of it, all right. And Houston, people talk about it, but Houston have definitely snuck under the radar in terms of how they're playing. I think they're
Yeah,
definitely one
well,
to
they got
watch.
off to such a bad start, and they looked so bad. Everyone was saying, well, they haven't fixed their offensive line, receivers have been injured, stuff like that, but they've got a lot of talent there. And I do think D'Amico Ryans is a pretty good, pretty strong coach, good leader of men, as they say. He's like our 21st century Mike Tomlin, although Mike Tomlin probably is only coached in the 21st century.
All right, you want to do right? Let's before we go quickly. The everyone's favorite America's team, the Dallas Cowboys. Let me just get you the odds. Sorry, I was checking you. I was checking on odds for.
Arizona plus 2.5, 54 over under.
Yes, 2.5 is the spread. Arizona Cardinals 5-4 on the money line, 8-13 about the Cowboys. Excuse me, 53.5 is the over under. I have 2.5 is the spread. I mean, we talked a little bit about last week, and we've mentioned it before. I mean, the reality is Dallas can't stop scoring, but they can't stop conceding. And then when they can't score like at Denver, they really can get a shellacking when the other side of the coin isn't going very well.
Dallas is two teams basically. They're a completely different team at home than they are on the road, and that's a problem for them. I think the quote from Jerry Jones on Monday this week was, "Micah really just isn't playing up to his normal standard."
Isn't it? Well,
Good.
can't really blame one person for the whole defense, surely.
Oh, I blame one person, Jerry.
Jerry. Well, especially since actually, if you watch the Cowboys, they actually get caught in the secondary. Like they get corners.
Why?
They're wide open to any sort of long range pass, like wide open.
They were last year too, and their best cornerback, Diggs, is out now, I think. Their best quarterbacks for the last 3, 4 years have both been gamblers. Guys who take themselves out of plays trying to make a play, instead of just Deron Bland is the other guy I was trying to think of when he had his good year, his quote unquote good year. I mean, they don't seem really well coached. I'm not sure what the fit is there for the kind of team they want to be, but as you said, they do score points. They're at home. 54 seems touchable depending on how much help the Cardinals are going to give them.
Yeah, which may or may not be.
Yeah.
I mean, saw the Kyle. There's a lot of Kyler Murray videos going around Instagram and TikTok and all that, where he's basically like a cartoon character or a video game, where he just doesn't seem to like play the game in a normal way. Most notably when he a couple of weeks ago threw the ball away.
Yeah. Well, or when the ball hit off his head.
Well, when the ball hit off his
And
head, which made him injured, yeah.
yeah.
But I mean, he just threw it away. What are you doing? That's it, Mike. Look, it was just the two of us today. I hope people enjoyed it as much as we enjoyed it. I'm just flat out assuming you enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it immensely. But don't
Yeah.
tell John that because he'll think it's because he wasn't there.
Well, he doesn't listen to the shows he wasn't in, which was clearly identified a couple of weeks ago
Yeah.
when we then quizzed him on shows that he hasn't been on. So, I mean, he's a big fat bollocks, like, hey, man,
Well, last time I was in Dublin, I quizzed him on shows he was on, and he had no idea.
Yeah, I don't remember that bit. There was a few drinks I had, to be honest.
Yeah, we do need a few.
We absolutely do. Look, that's it. Best of luck with all your bets over the weekend. Enjoy all of the action on Red Zone. The three of us will be back next week. But from myself and Mike for now, thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye bye.